It's the Fastlane here on 101 ESPN with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Hub Arkish, Executive Editor, Pro Football Weekly, Sideline Reporter for Westwood One. Can be found at Hub_Arkish on Twitter. How you doing, Hub?
I'm good, Anthony. How you guys doing?
Doing great today. Let's start here. We know that Andy Dalton signed with the Dallas Cowboys over the weekend. What's the latest that you're hearing on Cam Newton? Is it going to be a starting situation for him or bust when he signs?
Well, I don't think so, because there aren't any starting jobs open other than New England. And you know, the reality is that he probably can't pass – I shouldn't say can't pass a physical right now, but it would be hard for a team to get him in front of their own doctors with all the travel restrictions and the various things that we're all fighting due to the pandemic. So I think that this is just kind of biding its time. I wouldn't rule out the possibility that the New England Patriots would sign Cam Newton. They appear to be – the only team in the NFL right now that isn't set on a starting quarterback. I don't think anybody should be surprised that they weren't in the Andy Dalton chase, even though people suggested they might be. Even Andy Dalton obviously acknowledged that at this stage of his career, he's a backup, and he wasn't going to be the answer for anybody who was looking for a new starter. Cam Newton, on the other hand, a former NFL MVP, you know, a guy who took a team to a Super Bowl. He's a different kind of quarterback, but the reason I mentioned the Patriots is, who better than Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels to adjust themselves to special talent as opposed to trying to find a special talent to fit their system. So I think people are still watching New England. And I think for Newton, you know, he's already got the first, 80, 90 million in the bank. You can buy time without knowing when the season is going to start. And I think this is going to take a little while before we find out where he's going to land.
See, you mentioned the talent, and you mentioned finances, too. So I'm wondering, at this point, with Cam Newton, the upside is so high if, in fact, he is healthy. And I realize that's a huge if, Hub. But what does the financial commitment look like for Cam at this point? So basically what I'm asking is, why wouldn't teams be willing to just take a risk on Cam Newton? Is it the fact that he's going to make a ton of money and it's not worth it?
No, he is not in a position to command a multi-year, multi-million dollar deal. He's going to have to do, it'll probably be a 2-3 year deal for cap purposes, but in all intents purposes, it'll be a 1 year deal with, you know, maybe 15 to 20 million guaranteed, something like that. That is not, you know, even high for a starting quarterback. The issue, though, is when you talk about the ceiling and who you're signing, he is not a good NFL passer. I mean, this is the thing that people forget. Yes, he had that phenomenal 2015 campaign. He may be the best athlete in the NFL. He has proven you can win with him at quarterback, but you really have to be willing to gear everything you do around his talents. And you know, even for a Belichick and McDaniels, I just don't know if he throws the ball well enough, consistently enough, for them to be comfortable to become that much of a run-based offense. And that's really the issue. He is one of the great enigmas in the NFL, because you can't deny his talent, you can't deny his accomplishments, but even all these years later, he is an average NFL passer at best.
So let's move on to a guy who I wish was average, and that's Mitch Trubisky. I don't know if he's I do believe there are some people, and you might even still feel like there's an opportunity for him to actually have some dramatic improvement here. I'm not sure where you stand now, but what is ultimately going to happen with him? They declined the fifth-year option. They brought in Nick Foles. We know what they have in house. What happens next?
So, you know, Chris, here's the thing, and it's funny because Trubisky is obviously one of the great hot buttons in the NFL. He's been in the league 3 years. In his second season, he went to the Pro Bowl, took a team to the playoffs, and if it was up to him, they would have won a playoff game, but they had a kicker with a double doink. And so I know he was the alternate for the Pro Bowl that year, but that still means he was the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the NFC in just his second year. That does pretty much qualify as average, maybe a little bit better. And then he took this big step backwards last year, and it really became hard for anybody to understand or figure out why he took such a big step backwards. But he's a 25-year-old kid with three seasons who came to the NFL with less college experience than any quarterback ever drafted in the first round. People don't realize that. They know he didn't play much at North Carolina, but there's literally never been another quarterback drafted in the first round with less college experience. So you have to be a little bit patient. He has shown some of the traits that the Bears saw when they used the number two overall pick on him. He has not shown the football IQ, the vision, the mental aptitude, and I'm talking about football-wise, I'm not saying he's dumb, that the game requires. And so this is certainly a make-it-or-break season for him, but I think what people need to understand is the Bears didn't fail to exercise the fifth-year option because they're quitting on him or they don't think he can be the guy. They're trying to make their last best run at making him the guy. They said the day after the season ended that they were going to, he was still the starter, but they were going to bring in competition, and that's what they've done. They've brought in competition, pretty good competition in Nick Foles, and now they're challenging him even more by saying, you're in a contract here, son, so you better go out and do it. So, and it's funny, when I give that description, people immediately say to me, well, you're one of the few who's optimistic. I'm not optimistic. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's ever going to get anywhere near that ceiling or not. But I do know that he probably gets a little worse rap than he deserves with everything that's gone on around him, and that there should still be some hope. Now whether he gets there or not, here's the stat, guys, and nobody wants to believe it, but I promise you, I've researched it 1,000 times. 90% of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round in the NFL fail. And that's just a fact. I mean, look at where Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, 1 and 2, are, you know, 2 years ahead of him. Look where, you know, Jason Goff is at right now after they gave him a $100 million contract. I mean, there's all kinds of stories here at this position, and so it will be interesting to see what happens. He certainly is disappointed when you look at the whole of his 3 years, but I think it's too early to quit on him.
Now, I do think it's fair that there are probably two different conversations. One, whether or not there's still time for him, I think that is a fair conversation. And should he have been drafted where he got drafted? Though that's a completely separate argument. And I know you agree with that, too. But I do want to move to something that I'm starting to feel a little bit more optimism, and maybe my optimism goes up and down here by the day, depending on the news that we get daily. But there seems to be quite a bit of it that there will be a football season this year, that they do insist it is going to happen, and they still believe there's a possibility they're going to have some fans in the building. Where do we stand on it? What's going to happen?
Well, Chris, let me just first say real quickly, and I know you know this because I can't remember if you were still with us at the time or not, but I was live on the Bears radio network the night they A, made the trade, and B, drafted him, and I was outraged. The trade was asinine, and no, they should not have drafted him. I could not believe that they took him ahead of Deshaun Watson. So there's the answer to that question.
Oh, yeah, what for is sure.
But the interesting other part of that question is that 90% of the NFL, in talking to all 32 teams, absolutely had him ahead of Patrick Mahomes. You know, so everybody who wants to hang the Bears for not taking Mahomes, that's fine. But what everybody knew at the time was that Mahomes was a bigger question mark than he was. As far as the season, I think what the NFL is doing is probably smart. You know, much like it turned out, I was a doubter about the wisdom of holding the draft when they did, and I think we've seen now it was a great move, and I think people appreciate them for it because it provided some entertainment, some distractions, some relief from the hard part of everyday life these days, and that's why they're now coming out with these schedules. They're trying to keep a positive attitude. But they know full well that it's highly unlikely that they're going to have a stadium with 60 or 70,000 people in it the Thursday night after Labor Day. Now, I flunked every science class I ever took, guys, so I'm not
Same.
The one to ask about the medicine, you know, but I do believe in following the science, and this is what we're hearing from everybody. And the reality is that until we have a vaccine, there's no way to protect people. And no matter which camp you're on or what your politics are, The virus is still going to be here, you know, in the fall. And so the idea of having these full stadiums seems like it's kind of like the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. The odds are astronomical. But why not plan for it? Why not be prepared? Now, guys, what's going on behind the scenes, and I think you may or may not have heard about this, they're going to release the regular schedule. They also have a schedule they've done that doesn't begin until October 15th and has a Super Bowl like February 28th or March 1st. There's also a third schedule that is a shortened season that starts even later. So they're working on all their contingencies. But right now, why not be positive? Why not be hopeful? And I think that's what they're doing.
Hub Argus, love having you on the show. Appreciate it. Stay safe, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Anthony. All you guys take care, and to all your listeners, like I said, follow the science, guys. I just want everybody to stay safe and feel good.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you. Well said, Hub. We'll see you.
Take care.
That's Hub Arkish, executive editor, Pro Football Weekly, sideline reporter for Westwood One, at Hub_Arkish. Last night, got two more episodes of the MJ documentary. We got to get into the dream team. That practice,
yes.
So many times I'm watching the show and I'm like, yep, that's also why Michael Jordan was great. We'll talk about the dream team aspect and also get into Tony Kukoc and what Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan did to him, and it had nothing to do with Tony Kukoc himself. That's next on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.